dukkha. Buddhists have a remarkable and extremely useful word for the dis-ease stemming from being filled with desire, from being fastened to a dying animal, and not knowing what we are. They call it dukkha, a Pali term in the language spoken by the Buddha that is difficult to capture in one English word, but which is rendered variously by translators and scholars as suffering, anguish, stress, malaise, dis-ease, or unsatisfactoriness. The first noble truth of the Buddha's teachings is the centrality, the universality, and the unavoidability of dukkha, this innate suffering of dis-ease that invariably, in subtle and not subtle at all ways, colors and conditions the deep structure of our very lives. All Buddhist meditative practices revolve around the recognition of dukkha, the identification of its root causes, and the description, development, and deployment of pathways whereby we might each become free from its oppressive, blinding, and imprisoning influences. And importantly, our exploration of the possibility of liberation from suffering, from dukkha, and the living of a more authentic and satisfying life is not undertaken merely for ourselves, although that in itself would be quite an accomplishment and may be the proximal motivation that brings us to mindfulness practice, but in very real and non-romantic ways for the benefit of all beings with whom our lives are inexorably entwined. It turns out that that is a lot of beings, the whole universe, really. Dharma. The quality of our relationship to experience and the multiple landscapes, both inner and outer, within which it unfolds, starts obviously with ourselves. For example, if we have a desire for the world to be more peaceful, can we take a good look and see if we can be at all peaceful ourselves? Are we prepared to notice how much of the time we may not be so peaceful and what that is all about? If we desire others to see more clearly, can we start by paying attention to how we see things ourselves and whether we can actually perceive, apprehend, and understand what is happening in any moment without prejudging or prejudice? In the same vein, if we wish for greater wisdom and kindness in the world, perhaps we could start by inhabiting our own body with some degree of kindness and wisdom, even for one moment, just accepting ourselves as we are with kindness and compassion, rather than forcing ourselves to conform to some impossible ideal. And if we wish to grow or change or heal in any way, perhaps to be less strident or acquisitive, or more confident or generous, perhaps we must first taste silence and stillness and know that drinking deeply at their wells is itself healing and transformative through embracing in awareness itself whatever we find here in this moment, including our deeply ingrained and unconscious tendencies. The very word dharma, which means variously the teachings of the Buddha, the lawfulness of the universe, and quote, the way things are, has found its way into our language in the past century through Jack Kerouac's famous characterization of himself and his beat friends as Dharma bums, through the poet Allen Ginsberg's appellation of Dharma Lion, and through the more recent marketing of it as a novel woman's name in a television show. The Dharma was originally articulated by the Buddha in what he called the Four Noble Truths. In some ways, it is appropriate to characterize Dharma as resembling scientific knowledge, ever-growing, ever-changing, yet with a core body of methods, observations, and natural laws distilled from thousands of years of inner exploration through highly disciplined self-observation and self-inquiry, a careful and precise recording and mapping of experiences encountered in investigating the nature of the mind and direct empirical testing and confirming of the results. The first of the Four Noble Truths Buddha articulated was the universal prevalence of dukkha, the fundamental dis-ease of the human condition. The second was the cause of dukkha, which the Buddha attributed directly to attachment, clinging, and unexamined desire. The third was the assertion, based on his experience as the experimenter in the laboratory of his own meditation practice, that cessation of dukkha is possible. In other words, that it is possible to be completely cured of the dis-ease caused by attachment and clinging. And the Fourth Noble Truth outlines a systematic approach known as the Eightfold Noble Path to the cessation of dukkha, the dispelling of ignorance, and to liberation. Mindfulness is one of the eight practices along this path, the one unifying and informing all the others. Altogether, the eight practices are known as wise or right view, wise or right thinking, wise speech, wise action, wise livelihood, wise effort, wise mindfulness, and wise concentration. Each of these contains all the others. They are different aspects of one seamless whole.